Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, April 7, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 7, verse 4 sounds like this. Therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic law by means of the body of Christ, with the result that you might belong to, be married to another of a different kind, the Lord Jesus Christ. To the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised up from the dead. And then the last phrase will sound like this, for the purpose that we might bear fruit for God. We have hina plus the subjunctive, which introduces the purpose clause, the purpose of our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ is found in this verb, carpo phoreo. All right? One, this is a compound verb made up of karpos, fruit, plus phoreo, to bear. Karpos plus phoreo. Literally then, point two, it means to bear fruit or crops. To bear fruit or crops. Three. Bearing fruit refers to the children of our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bearing fruit refers to the children of our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. Four, the purpose of our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ is to produce fruit. The purpose of our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ is to produce fruit. Five, now, in our old marriage, from physical birth up to salvation, during that period while we were an unbeliever, in our old marriage to the sin nature, there was children too. Sin, human good, and evil. That was the children of the first marriage, the old marriage. Sin, human good, and evil. Six, but now, in our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, we produce the fruit of living the spiritual life. God has given to us the unique spiritual life of the church age. First one to ever have it, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his hypostatic union, at his incarnation and virgin birth, he was indwelt and filled with the Spirit 100% of the time in his humanity. He was the first person to live this unique spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. And then he passed it on to us. He passed it on to all of us as royal family. So now in our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, we produce the fruit of living this unique spiritual life he's given to us. Now this includes many things. First of all, this includes the fact of the fruit of the Spirit. We are all indwelt by God the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation and filled with the Spirit. You never lose the indwelling of the Spirit. You lose the filling of the Spirit every time you sin. You recover through rebound, 1 John 1:9. But while you're living, you can only live this unique spiritual life. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power to live it. And that supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. So when you're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit is producing in you and through you the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That first word is love, virtue love. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So that's produced. As you're living the spiritual life, as you are in fellowship with God, this is being produced in you and through you. I didn't become a believer in Jesus Christ until between my junior and senior years of high school. And I went to a camp. I had a football coach who was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he took me aside, and they all called me Ole. He said, Ole, he says, I really like you to go to this camp. It'll be the greatest week of your life if you go. And he didn't say anything about it. He didn't say that there was a camp where they're going to be talking about Jesus Christ. He didn't mention that. He just said, they have all these, you'll be able to go fishing in the ocean, you'll be able to play basketball, they have a golf course, you'll be able to play golf, you'll be able to do all these things, and it's up in British Columbia. I said, well, sounds pretty fun. So I went. And it was absolutely beautiful. There's no road that goes there. You can only get there by ship or by seaplane. It's the only way you can get there. And when I got there, it was absolutely amazing, beautiful. And the first night, the speaker came out and he started talking about God and the Bible. I got so damn mad. They didn't tell me that they were going to be doing this at this camp. And I got mad. And the next day, I demonstrated to everyone there that I had an old sin nature. I committed about every kind of sin you could commit, except fornication. Wasn't there long enough. I'm glad you laughed. And then that night, the speaker got up and he said, before a person can come to know God, you got to know, first of all, what God is like. Let me, first of all, read from Galatians what man is like. And he went through naming the production of the sin nature. And as he's going through that, I'm getting red and redder and reddest. And I thought, somebody told on me. And I was, when he got done, I realized, well, that's me, all right. That's what I just did, every single one of these things. And then he says, now let me tell you what God is like. And he went through Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. And as he went through that, I said, that's what I want. That's what I want to be true of my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And then he explained, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he paid the penalty of all these other things. He paid the penalty for all of them once and for all. And right where you're sitting, if you simply believe in him, he will give you the gift of eternal life. And not only that, he comes to live inside of you. And the Spirit of God lives inside of you and produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. Well, I believed in Christ right there. It was a done deal. But I wanted to make sure that God heard me. So that night I got in my cabin and up in my bed. And when I got in my bed, I put my head down on my pillow, my butt was up in the air, and I just, Father, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus Christ. I said it about 20 times. I just wanted to make sure he understood and knew this was a done deal. Well, they gave me a Bible. And all I was looking at was gospel passages. I couldn't believe. This was the deepest truth. I'd never seen truth like this. And I thought, how could I be a member of the human race so long and not see this fantastic, deep truth? And I'm looking at the gospel, you know. Well, after it was over, I went home. And I wanted to tell everybody my dad and mom. I was afraid to tell my dad. I thought he'd throw me out of the house. And so I didn't say anything to anybody. I didn't say not to my brothers or my sister, not to my mom or my dad. I didn't say anything. And even though I was a brand new believer, the fruit of the Spirit was being manifested in a little way to my family. And they all saw it. And I didn't think I was doing anything any different than I did before. I thought I was just the same. And then at breakfast, Mom said, Rich, what happened at that camp? I go, what happened? Yep. What happened? The whole family's talking about your brothers and sisters. Said, what happened to Richard? He's nice to me now. I said, Mom, I wanted to tell somebody. I said, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And my mom started to cry. And she says, I have been praying for all of you that you would hear the gospel. She said, your dad wouldn't let me take you to church and didn't want you to hear about anything in the Bible or anything. And she just cried. She said, well, we can see that something has changed. I said, I didn't think I was doing anything any different than before. She says, everybody sees it. That's because the first part of the fruit that's produced in you right after salvation is the filling of the Spirit. And that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. So again, point six, now in our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, we produce the fruit of living the spiritual life. And this includes the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Seven, that carpophoreoing, that bearing of fruit, is also the result of growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Growing up in grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. And when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity, now virtue love is brought to completion in your heart. And that's a part of this carpophoreoing. You have personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love to all mankind, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that is fruit that is absolutely, it has impact. It has amazing impact in the world, in your family, in your city, at your job, everywhere. That impersonal love for all is visible to the rest of the world, both believers and unbelievers alike. That's carpophoreoing, your impersonal love for all, your treating others with virtue, treating others with honor, avoiding, staying away from all mental attitude sins and avoiding sins of the tongue. And you have occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart, and that produces fruit of happiness. Happiness in your life. You're fun to be around. You're happy no matter what. You're happy when you got good health and you're not an old fart with bad knees and stuff like that. You still have happiness. Share the happiness of God. You might have some pain as you get older. It's just pain, not a big deal. And you still share the happiness of God. And you have that peace which transcends all human understanding. And no matter what, well, it was like, and I've told you this before with Debbie, when she discovered that she had cancer. And they had to do surgery. And the doctor that was going to do the surgery, he was a Jewish doctor. And he actually came to the church. He came to the church. And it was just him and me. And we went back in the game room and sat down. And he said, Pastor Olson, he says, your wife is amazing. He says, when I tell women that they have what she has, most of them fall apart. They fall apart. They have hysteria and cry, and they can't handle it when I tell them what has to be done. And your wife just sat there and smiled and said, well, that's God's will. Okay, that's God's will for my life. Fine. And I said, he says, I don't see that. And I said, well, Deb is a Christian and I'm a Christian. We have both placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we know him. We know him and we love him and we know that he has a perfect plan for our life. And she knows that. And that's when he, and it's just the two of us here, and he leaned forward and he whispered, Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Yes, I do believe he's the Messiah. I believe he's the Messiah too. Well, great! Why are we whispering? Well, he says, if my mom and dad knew that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, they would disown me. I would no longer be a member of the family. I said, well, I'm happy for you that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I hope that that means you placed your faith in him for eternal salvation, knowing that he paid the penalty for all of your sins on the cross. And then, you know what? If I was you, I would tell your mom and dad the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and give them a chance to believe in Christ as well. But what was he seeing with Deb? He was seeing the fruit of the Spirit. He was seeing she was carpophoreoing, bearing fruit for God. And it had an impact on this doctor. So that carpophoreoing, that bearing fruit, is also the result of growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And that means at that point, you will have in your life maximum divine good production in your life. Maximum divine good production. That's the carpo for owing. Maximum divine good production in your life. 8. This can only be accomplished by living the unique spiritual life that God has given to us by the spiritual skills, by the power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, and executing God's plan, God's will, God's purpose for your life. 9. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart is the spiritual seed. The spiritual seed that is planted and brings forth the fruit that glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart is the spiritual seed that is planted in your soul, and that brings forth the fruit that glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ. The dative singular of theos with a definite article is to God. The dative case is the dative of destination recipient. This bearing of fruit is to the glory of God. This bearing of fruit is to the glory of God. So the corrected translation of Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic law by means of the body of Christ, with the result that you might belong to, be married to another of a different kind, the Lord Jesus Christ. To the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised up from the dead, the resurrection of Christ. For the purpose that we might bear fruit for God. For the purpose that we might bear fruit for God. 1. Christ died twice on the cross, that we might be born twice. Christ died twice on the cross that we might be born twice. First of all, Christ died spiritually to provide salvation. Those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. when all the sins, God brought a supernatural darkness over the land, because that's when He was gathering up the sins of the whole world, imputing them to Christ, and judging them in Jesus Christ. That 3 hours of darkness and judgment. After that 3 hours, the darkness left. Jesus Christ was still physically alive. So first of all, He died spiritually to provide salvation. Then secondly, He died physically because His salvation work was finished. Then He died physically because His salvation work was finished. Now, He died twice that we might be born twice. Our first birth is natural generation, in which God the Father creates human life and imputes it to the soul at physical birth. The second birth is regeneration, by which God the Holy Spirit creates from His omnipotence a human spirit for the imputation of eternal life by God the Father. This anticipates the principle of point two. The power that resurrected Christ from the dead is the same power delegated and made available to every one of you, every church-age believer, so that you can fulfill God's plan, God's will, and God's purpose for your life. The power that resurrected Christ from the dead is the same power delegated and made available to every church-age believer for the fulfillment of God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Three. The royal family of God is designed to be empowered by divine power so that we might glorify God to the maximum. Romans 7:4, that we might bear fruit for God. Carpo foreo. The royal family of God is designed to be empowered by divine power so that we might glorify God to the maximum. As our verse says, that we might bear fruit for God. Carpo foreo. This becomes the highest destiny ever given to any group of believers in any dispensation. For in physical death, our Lord Jesus Christ had a trichotomous separation. In physical death, our Lord Jesus Christ had a trichotomous separation. His body went into the grave. His human spirit went into the presence of God the Father in the third heaven. His human soul went into the first compartment of Hades called paradise, where all Old Testament believers resided until the resurrection of Christ. So in physical death, our Lord Jesus Christ had a trichotomous separation. His body went to the grave. He dismissed His human spirit into the presence of God the Father in the third heaven. His human soul went into the first compartment of Hades called paradise, where all Old Testament believers resided until the resurrection of Christ. Point five. Now, when we die, our soul and spirit go into the presence of the Lord in heaven. And we studied this in our Wednesday night class, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. That was our Wednesday night study, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. We are said to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. So there is no splitting up of the soul and the spirit in the death of the believer. But our Lord's physical death was unique. Unique. Our Lord's body was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Sixth, when the work of salvation was finished, our Lord said to the Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Luke 23:46. When the work of salvation was finished, our Lord said to the Father, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. Luke 23:46. Seven, he said to the dying thief in Luke 23:43, today you will be with me in paradise, because he believed in Jesus Christ. He had eternal life, eternal salvation through simple faith. You can't do any works when you're crucified. He said to the dying thief in Luke 23:43, today you will be with me in paradise. His soul went into paradise. And paradise was a compartment of what the Old Testament called Sheol, the New Testament calls Hades. Now this brings up a whole series of passages I want to take you to, and we've run out of time. So we'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you, sir, for the privilege of fellowshipping in your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become reality in each one of our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.